CSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman, with a foreword by Stephen Covey. In the last show, we were looking at the section, The Liberator. Part 2. Demand people's best work. Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State under Richard Nixon, was a master of getting people's best work. According to one story, his chief of staff once handed in a report he had written on an aspect of foreign policy. When Kissinger received the report, he asked simply, "Is this your best work?" The chief thought for a moment and, worried that his boss would think the report was not good enough, responded, Mr. Kissinger, I think I can do better." So Kissinger gave the report back. 2 weeks later, the chief returned in the revised report. Kissinger kept it for a week and then sent it back with a note saying, "Are you sure this is your best work?" Realizing that something must have been missing, the chief again rewrote the report. This time, when he handed the report to his boss, he said, "Mr. Kissinger, this is my absolutely best work." Upon hearing this, Kissinger replied, "Then this time I'll read your report." Here are a few ways that liberators demand the best from those they work with. Defend the standard. Larry Gelwicks, the head coach of Highland Rugby, stood at the center of a huddle of rugby players at the side of the field for the team's first game debrief of the season. Larry asked one question: "Did you give your best?" One player enthusiastically spoke up, "Well, we won, didn't we?" "Not unkindly," Larry said. "That's not the question I asked." Another player jumped in, "We just dominated that team. We won 64-20. "What more could you ask for?" Larry said. "When you came for tryouts, I said, I expected your best. That means your best thinking out there, as well as your best physical effort. Is that what you gave today?" One player described one game played on the island of Tonga when he could answer yes to Larry's question. He said, "I had a painful shoulder contusion after a devastating tackle on my opponent. I was ready to quit, ready to let my team down. I couldn't lift my arm. The pain was excruciating. I remember I began to chant the Haka, a traditional Maori war chant, in my head. I remember looking over at the sunset through the palm trees. At that very moment, the game seemed to stop, and I had a choice. A voice told me that I needed to keep going to do my best, not only for myself, but for who I am, and most importantly, for the team, for my brothers. The voice was a recollection of countless practices and games when Coach Gelwicks simply asked, 'Is this your best?' I finished the game with 2 tries, each the equivalent of a touchdown. becoming the first high school American to score in Tonga. As a manager, you know that someone is below his or her usual performance. What is harder to know is whether people are giving everything they have to give. Asking whether people are giving their best gives them the opportunity to push themselves beyond their previous limits. It is a key reason why people report that multipliers get more than 100% intelligence out of them. Distinguish best work from outcomes. Requiring people's best work is different from insisting on desired outcomes. Stress is created when people are expected to produce outcomes that are beyond their control, but they feel positive pressure when they're held to their best work. K.R. Shidhar, CEO of Bloom Energy, innovator of green power generators globally, and a renowned scientist himself, has mastered this distinction in his company. He said, if you want your organization to take risks, you have to separate the experiment from the outcome. I have zero tolerance if someone does not run the experiment, but I don't hold them accountable for the outcome of the experiment. I only hold them accountable to execute. This is one of Bloom Energy's secrets for innovating across complex integrated technologies. KR understands the distinction between pressure and stress. He cites the famous image of William Tell shooting an apple off his son's head. In this scenario, William Tell feels pressure. His son feels stress. KR keeps the pressure on his team to act, but doesn't create stress by holding them accountable for outcomes beyond their control. 3. Generate rapid learning cycles. In studying multipliers, I've often wondered, how smart do you have to be a multiplier? The answer from Bill Campbell, chairman and former CEO of Intuit, was perfect. You have to be smart enough to learn. Perhaps most important, liberators give people permission to make mistakes and the obligation to learn from their mistakes. Admit and share mistakes. When Lutz Ziob took over as general manager of the educational business at Microsoft in 2003, it was falling short of its goals for revenue and reach. Lutz needed to make progress fast and could have easily created a stressful environment around him. But he also needed the organization to be creative and to take risks if they were to catch up in the market. It was a classic management dilemma. If you take the obvious path, the climate will become tense and your people may become risk adverse. However, if you lessen the pressure by softening the goals, then your organization becomes complacent. Lutz did neither. Instead, he created an environment that was equal parts pressure and learning. Lutz never backed down from the natural pressure for the business to perform, but he made it safe for people to take risks and to make mistakes. He did this by how he responded to both his mistakes and the mistakes of others. Lutz was shameless in speaking about his own mistakes. He loves to tell stories, and his favorite are about his mistakes. Instead of hiding his own mistakes or diffusing them onto his staff, he confesses them. When he launched an unsuccessful product, he talked about it openly and what he learned from it. One member of his management team said, he brings an intellectual curiosity for why things don't work out. By making his mistakes public, he made it safe for others to take risks and to fail. Insist on learning from mistakes. Lutz creates room for other people to make mistakes. When Chris Peary, the general manager for sales and marketing working for Lutz, was newly promoted to lead sales for Microsoft Learning. He tried a risky promotion. Unfortunately, it didn't work. But instead of rationalizing the mistake, he went to Lutz and admitted the mistake, diagnosed it, and then tried something different. Chris said, with Lutz, you get to make mistakes, but you're expected to learn fast. With Lutz, it's okay to fail. You just can't make the same mistake twice. Lutz loves feedback. He just isn't open to it. He insists on it. A direct report of his recalled a time when he had to give Lutz some tough love feedback. Lutz was involved in a critical project and was particularly excited about the possibilities for the business. As such, he had been dominating the discussion and had taken over. Lutz's direct report scheduled a one-on-one. He sat down in Lutz's office and delivered the feedback. Lutz, you're sucking the oxygen out of the room. No one else has any room to breathe. You need to back off. How do you think Lutz responded? How would you have responded if one of your people suggested that you were dominating oxygen hog? Lutz's curiosity was triggered, and his response was simple. He asks, what does it look like? Who did it impact? How do I avoid doing it again? After taking the time to understand his mistake, he asked his direct report, how will you tell me if I do this again? His final comment to his direct report was, I wish you would have told me sooner. He really meant it. Lutz achieved the climate he wanted, even amidst stressful external environments, by generating rapid learning cycles. As Chris Peary said, Lutz creates an environment where good things happen. Even in times of immense external pressure, Lutz created a climate that drew out people's best thinking and work. He maintained a creative intensity. Tyrants and liberators both expect mistakes. Tyrants stand ready to pounce on people who make them. Liberators stand ready to learn as much as possible from the mistake as possible. The highest quality of thinking cannot emerge without learning. Learning can't happen without mistakes. Liberators get the best thinking from people by creating a rapid cycle between thinking, learning, and making and recovering from mistakes. They move rapidly through this cycle in order to generate their best ideas and create agile organizations. As K.R. Stridbar explained, we iterate fast so we can bring cycle time down. The key to this rapid iteration is creating an environment where people can bring up risks and deal with mistakes sooner. A.J. Laffley, former CEO of Procter Gamble, said, you want your people to fail early, fast, and cheap, and then learn quickly from it. Diminishers don't generate these cycles. They might request, if not demand, people's best thinking, but they fail to establish the environment where ideas are easily expressed and developed to full maturity and efficacy. The diminishers' approach to environment. Diminishers haven't developed this smooth duality of comfort and pressure. Instead, they jerk the organization around as they swing between two modes. One, militant insistence on their ideas, and two, passive indifference to the ideas and work of others. Timothy Wilson is an award-winning Hollywood property master. He and his team set the scene and create context for a movie. He has worked on some of the biggest and most successful films. He's a creative genius, but he comes at a high cost. Why? Because so few people are willing to work with him twice. One of his staff said, quote, I take any job before working with him, unquote. Signing up to work with Timothy means working in fear and stress with little enjoyment. Those who work for him say, you don't want to come back to work the next day. From the moment Timothy steps onto the set, the mood changes. People brace for his criticism. As Jeremy sees Timothy walk over to one of the props that he has been working on for the last 2 days, Jeremy wonders which of the usual insults it will be. Or will it perhaps deliver a rare compliment? Timothy insists inspects the prof and delivers his signature critique loudly to the whole group. This looks like a prop for a B-movie. Then there are the random things that set him off. If the prop cart isn't organized correctly, he goes crazy. One day he got so tense that he argued with the director of photography and threw the walkie-talkie at him. The set went from tense to tenser as people prepared to duck and cover. Some leaders create an intense environment that requires people's best thinking and work. Timothy created a tense environment by dominating the space, creating anxiety, and judging others in a way that had a stifling effect on people's thinking and output. Dominate the space. Tyrants are like a gas that expands and consumes all the available space. They dominate meetings and hog all the air time. They leave little room for anyone else and often suffocate other people's intelligence in the process. They do this by voicing strong opinions, overexpressing their ideas, and trying to maintain control. Garth Yamato, chief marketing officer at a consumer products company, uses up almost every cubic inch of space in the room. He jumps in and interrupts people's presentations. He expresses very strong and extreme emotions and either spends his time micromanaging or is noticeably absent. People warn newcomers in his division. The art of being successful around here is figuring out Garth. One member of the group said, "I think I am atrophying here. I'm probably giving him about 50%. That person has since left the organization and is thriving in another company.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC, but it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you're listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We are looking at the book Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman, with a foreword by Stephen Covey. We're looking at the section The Liberator. We're considering the attributes of diminishers. The next attribute we're going to consider is creating anxiety. The hallmark of a tyrant is their temperamental and unpredictable behavior. People don't know what will set them off, but it's almost certain that the mood will change when they are around. It is as if the tyrants impose an anxiety tax wherever they go. A percentage of people's mental energy is consumed trying to avoid upsetting the tyrant. Just think of the wasted productivity on the set with Timothy Wilson. Instead of using their full energy making a movie props, Timothy's team worries that the next thing that Timothy is going to say or do, or for that matter, throw. Judging others. Tyrants centralize their power and play judge, jury, and executioner. In sharp contrast to the rapid learning cycles of the liberator, tyrants create cycles of criticism, judgment, and retreat. Like the presenters scurrying to adjust their presentations for Jenna Healey, the telecommunications sales leader who resembles Miranda Priestly in The Devil Wears Prada, people retreat to a safe position where their ideas won't be criticized or exposed. The Japanese have a saying for this, Diru ki wa yutiru, which translated means the stake that sticks out gets hammered down. When leaders play the role of the tyrant, they suppress people's thinking and capabilities. People restrain themselves and work cautiously, only bringing up safe ideas that the leader is likely to agree with. This is why diminishers are costly to organizations. Under the influence of a diminisher, the organization pays full price for a resource and only receives about 50% of its value. From liberation to resource leverage. Why do liberators get full value from their resources? Multipliers know that people are intelligent and will figure it out. Because they engage people's natural intelligence, people offer them back their full brain power. Because people have a foundation of safety and comfort, they are free to offer their boldest ideas, not just safe ideas that will keep them out of the wrath of a tyrant. The environment of learning has enabled them to take risks and quickly and inexpensively recover from them. There is an assumption that underlies the practices of a liberator. It is that people's best thinking must be given, not taken. A manager may be able to insist on a certain level of productivity and output, but someone's full effort, including their truly discretionary effort, must be given voluntarily. This changes the leader's role profoundly. Instead of demanding the best work directly, they create an environment where it is not only can be offered, but where it is deeply needed. Because the environment naturally requires it, a person freely bestows their best thinking and work. Multipliers not only get their full brain power from the team, they grow capability rapidly. Our research shows that they just don't get twice more. They get twice the capacity with an extra 5 to 10% growth bonus. Diminishers, on the other hand, believe that pressure increases performance. They demand people's best thinking, but they don't get it usually. They fail to establish the environment where ideas are easily expressed and developed to full maturity and efficacy. An unsafe environment yields only the safest ideas. The following chart reflects why tyrants leave capability on the table while liberators extract full intelligence and capability from the people around them. Tyrants. What they do. Create a tense environment that suppresses people's thinking and capabilities. What they get. People who hold back but appear to be engaged on the surface. They get safe ideas that the leader has already agreed with. They get people who work cautiously, avoid taking risks, and find excuses for any mistakes they make. On the other hand, liberators, what they do, they create an intense environment that requires people's best thinking and work. What they get, people who offer their best thinking and really engage their full brain power. The best and boldest ideas, they get people who give their full effort and go out of their on a limb to learn quickly from any mistakes. The promise of a multiplier is twice the capacity. Now let's look at a few of the starting points for how someone becomes a liberator to their organization. Becoming a liberator. Remember that the path of least resistance is often the path of the diminisher. As Michael said, It's not like it isn't tempting to be tyrannical when you can. Becoming a liberator requires long-term commitment. Here are a few starting points. The starting block. Number one, play your chips. If you want to create more room for others to contribute, and especially if you're prone to diminishing a discussion, you must consider a good game of poker chips. Matthew is a smart, articulate leader. However, he's often found himself frustrated and out ahead of his organization, struggling to bring a cross-functional team along with him and his brilliant ideas. He is also struggling to be heard. He had great ideas, but he's simply talking too much and taking up too much space in team meetings. I was working with him to prepare a critical leadership forum for his division. He was eagerly awaiting the opportunity to share his views about the strategy for advancing the business to the next level. Instead of encouraging him, I gave him a challenge. I gave him 5 poker chips, each worth a number of seconds of talk time. One was worth 120 seconds, the next 3 were worth 90 seconds, and one was worth just 30. I suggested he limit his contribution to the meeting to 5 comments, represented by each of the chips. He could spend them whenever he wished, but he only had 5. After the initial shock and bemusement, wondering how he could possibly convey all his ideas in 5 comments, he accepted my challenge. I watched as he carefully restrained himself, filtering his thoughts for only the most essential and looking for the right moment to insert his ideas. He played his poker chips deftly and achieved 2 important outcomes. 1, he created abundant space for others to express their ideas. Instead of it being his strategy session, it became a forum for a diverse group to voice ideas and co-create the strategy. And 2, Matthew increased his own credibility and presence as a leader. By exercising some leadership restraint, everyone was heard more, including Matthew as the leader. Try giving yourself a budget of poker chips for a meeting. Maybe it is 5, maybe it's just 1 or 2. Use them wisely and leave the rest of the space for others to contribute. So, in future shows, we are going to examine other approaches that people can use to become liberators instead of tyrants. For example, to label your opinions, to make your mistakes known, and so on. So we're going to be learning how ordinary leaders can change themselves into superior leaders by using a few very simple techniques. So we'll be looking at this and much more in future shows, so please stay tuned.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
सुन रहे हो CJSF 90.1 FM, जो कि बर्नबी, ब्रिटिश कोलंबिया में स्थित है।